Phone hacks.
Ring-a-ding-ding, you got the kings. Welcome to another episode of the Phone Hacks Podcast with me, Mike Goldstein, and the screech to my Zach Morris, Nick Capper.
Hey, buddy. You already used screech on me, didn't you?
I don't think
it's
so.
More special this week, mate, unfortunately.
This is our first in memoriam intro. So I think it's quite special, you know? It's a dedication
Rest
of a great
peace.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it on the Today Show the other day. My nana was watching it, and he was doing a whole heap of comedy gags, you know, like, you know, peering out of lockers and all that kind of stuff. He was quite a physical character,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, dude.
I didn't realize how funny he was.
Man, he was the true comedian on that show, just surrounded by hunks and babes, and he was the real comedy relief.
Do you reckon he was stayed around at the kind of Saved by the Bell rap parties and... Once those guys probably got two girls each, old Screech was just there going, yeah, well, I am the funny one.
Yeah, he would. Well, we'll get
a little left for Screecho.
We'll get our guest in because he's a huge Mr. Belding head.
Yeah, I'm a Belding head, brother.
We got Alexi Toliopoulos with us this week. How are you, Alexi?
I'm very good to be here with you guys. My God, two gorgeous fellas looking at me through my computer. What a dream come true.
Hopefully, I mean, it's great to have you on, and the benefit of Zoom is that, oh, and look, my fiance just
Hello.
Walked through the door. She's my Trevor. So from a couple weeks back, we had Trevor in the background, but now we have someone even weirder. So there you go. were we still talking about Screech? Oh no, Zoom. So yeah, thank the Zoom benefit is that we can get people from other cities and states, and but I can't wait for Capper to get back to Perth so I can see my best bud in person, you know.
To Perth.
My
bloody
God.
Hell, Mike. Do you know where you are, Michael? Yeah, are you all over the place, buddy? What have you been? Yeah, man. It looks like you got COVID in the head.
I didn't tell you guys. I've been in quarantine for 2 weeks just to Zoom from Perth for this episode.
I would love you guys to find a nice little place in Perth together and just move out, live a new life.
Dude, that's the dream, and that's the utopia over there. So one day, hopefully, you know,
beautiful.
Buy a nice
just
cottage,
a little penthouse for the phone hacks. That'd be amazing.
Man, I think that's probably a prophecy that you've you know, when Mike and I are both cancelled and our partners leave us, we'll just be two. Do comics doing the working professionally to mid range in the Perth region, just living in a beach house together.
Dude, I have absolute nightmares about being 60 and still going ring a ding ding once a week. You know, like that is horrifying to think about. Yeah,
I had a mate that I shared a room with when I was at boarding school, and one time he woke up in a nightmare. He woke up in the middle of the night and he goes, I said, what's wrong? And he goes, I had a dream I'm going to become a chicken farmer like my dad. And fast forward 22 years later, he is a chicken farmer.
Oh.
He's taken over his dad's farm.
God.
So.
A prophecy was whispered to him in the night and he awoke in a haste. My God.
he was actually a real life screech at school.
Wow.
His name was Tuma. You know, when you have Tuma, what are you doing now?
Yeah.
You know, he's always doing stuff.
We had a Gooch at
early.
My school. He went by the name Gooch.
Oh. Gooch.
Yeah.
You can't beat Gooch.
Loved a Gooch.
Yeah. Because Gooch is... is the taint for, you know, but was Gooch, did he know that he was the area between the balls and the asshole? Like that was
We went by the ABC, the ass ball connection. That's what we all knew Gooch by.
The ABC, I love it. The acronym, beautiful, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is it an acronym?
No. I mean, if you can think of what Gooch stands for right now, I'd be very impressed.
Goiter, oil on cock hair.
There you go.
Wow.
Goiter oil on cock hair. That's the gooch. Yes. Yeah, of course.
Yep. No, it's been, the Queensland weather, it's making me a bit slow. I'm a bit slow, guys. I'm not usually the peak, you know.
If you would have said, we better describe. Well, to the premise, but if you would have said gonad, it would have been on gooch theme, you know. But
groin. I was looking for a gonad, a groin.
damn it.
Goldstein, any of those. well, we'll get into all the mechanics of the show that we're doing here, but I have a lot to talk about with Alexi. It's I want to say it's been a while since we've caught up, but we tried to record 3 days ago, but Capper being himself somehow fucked it up, and we had the Zoom and everyone was ready to go, but we couldn't go ahead. So Alexi and I, you know, had some chats, and the Capper was at his Nana's place, and in the background was the most horrifying portrait we had ever seen in our lives.
It was incredible because it was Capper just like basically a blank wall. Like the wall had nothing on it. There was no bookshelf on it except one picture that was like the most haunted fucking image I've ever seen. Like it was one of those like very old school pictures from like the early like 1900s where it's like a photograph printed directly onto like enamel or something, onto like tin.
Yeah. I think it was before glass, they could make glass flat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just had to be a bubble. That's definitely what it is. I think it's engraved in the glass. Yeah, it was. I never thought of it as haunting because I think it's my great-great-grandfather or something like that.
Yeah.
Then once you guys pointed out, I'm like, yeah, that is bloody scary, well, that thing. Yeah.
Because I was able to, because I recorded the first few minutes over Zoom, and so I was able to just freeze frame it and zoom in, and they both have your exact face, Capper. It's amazing. It's the curse. And it was, it was so good. I think poor Alexi is frozen up in fear about it. Yeah. So hopefully.
I think my great grandfather was a policeman.
Yeah.
And my granddad, you know, they tell you, you know how your parents and your grandparents just tell you matter of fact stories that they find funny and you go, oh, that's not actually that funny. But my granddad told me that his dad had to go down and check out a shack that had been, I don't know, there'd be no movement in there. And he went in to check on the guy and he couldn't get through the door, so he decided to climb through the window.
Yeah.
And when he put his foot down, he put it on a chair but then felt a snapping sound, and turns out the guy died in his rocking chair and my great-granddad had put his foot through his chest.
Jesus Christ.
Decomposed corpse. And granddad was like, oh, it was so funny on the job, you know. Just stuff like that would happen all the time. And I was like 8 years old going, is this humor?
No.
Is this what it's meant to be?
That's what scar you for life.
God. Okay. I got to be honest. Yeah. My internet dropped out for like 4 seconds or more. But it went from talking about the picture to me coming back to the most Nick Capper story I've ever heard of, like a bizarre relative cracking into a dead man's chest.
And was that, I thought you were just frozen in fear there for a while there, Alexi. But you're all good? Like everything's, we don't have to restart or anything?
No, I think so.
Okay. Well, I mean, so that was so we kind of lost obviously that day, but we're back. Alexi's good enough to join us later in the week and do this.
Yes.
And we appreciate it, even though I do have a certain bone to pick with you, Alexi.
Yes. Your, I have a feeling this would freaking come up, dude. I know what's gonna happen.
Do you?
Yes. Okay. I reckon this, what you're about to reveal, has put a rift between you and I in our friendship. There was a damaging moment that happened this year, and neither you or I have gotten over it.
I had to cop the brunt of this, and it was, there was some serious words said, which is crazy.
Well, you know, we're all in a film and TV recommendation group. And then also just, you know, I follow Alexi across socials and he's a film connoisseur. You would call himself a cinephile, but for kids.
Yes, so that's fun. What I would describe myself as. I'm a registered cinephile, dude. When I moved into my new place, I had to go door to door, let them know, hey, I'm in here now. So if you hear weird noises, I'm watching a DVD.
Yeah, if you hear Shawshank turned up real loud, it's my place. Yeah. I like to go deeper, baby.
Yeah. So there was a recommendation that Alexi made, and it was in the middle of the Melbourne lockdown when I saw the recommendation, and
tensions were high.
Tensions were high, and I'd run out of just good things to watch. I felt like I had seen everything, and then Alexi, you know, his big swinging cinematic dick comes into the conversation and recommends Adam Sandler's Hubie Halloween. Mm-hmm. And a very high praise from Alexi, and got me excited to see the movie. And my partner and I sat down, and I think about 10 to 15 minutes in, like, we wanted to hang ourselves. Okay. So it was, yeah.
My desired effect was released.
And because I'm a huge Sandler fan, mm-hmm. you know, grew up watching him on SNL. And I think you said in your recommendation that, you know, it's for people that have been fans of his for a while. There's a lot of references to his older movies. And I, you know, the Ben Stiller cameo right at the start, mm-hmm. like, I was like, oh shit, this might actually deliver, but it slowly like just turned into an indirect form of torture from
I stand by it. Yeah, I love Hubie Halloween. I was guffawing. I was having a great time. Like you said, that cameo at the top of the movie made me feel like what, like, you know, Marvel fans must feel like. We're like, oh my God, that's Cap Shield. I'm like, oh my God, that's the Audley from Happy Gilmore. Like, I started crying. Oh, yeah. I started saluting at the movie. But I found it really funny because I think I have, you know, I love Sandler. I grew up watching him too. He's one of my heroes I believe it deeply. When I was like 12 years old, I was at like a Christmas party with like extended family and friends of them. And this woman was like, do you know what my superpower is? I can see someone and tell them exactly what celebrity they look like. You look just like Adam Sandler. And at the time I was like, my God, this is the greatest compliment. I was so happy with it. I was so proud of myself to look like my hero. And then, you know, there hasn't been for me like a big, broad, grotty, grubby Sandler comedy that I've liked for a long time. And I remember when That's My Boy came out and there were like all these reviews going like, Sandler's back, baby, this is it. And I fucking hated that movie. And then Hubie Halloween was the one that finally did it for me, where I'm like, this is what I wanted. I wanted him to have a weird voice. I wanted Julie Bowen to be in it. I wanted him to be a fucking sad ass loser.
Because there was Sandler for many years would put on a weird voice and do like a borderline autistic character in a lot of his movies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Waterboy, Little Nicky. Mm-hmm. So that.
I got to rewatch Waterboy.
I got to rewatch it. I watched it again recently, leading up to the release of Hubie Halloween. I watched Waterboy.
See, because it's Hubie Halloween is a Netflix movie, and I knew you were doing a podcast for Netflix, and mm-hmm. I was like, Alexi is now a corporate shill. Yeah. He's a company man. He works for Big Daddy.
I do.
Mike was actually going off. Absolutely. We recorded an episode that day, and he's like, yeah, there was someone who we haven't talked in like 12 years who's like a mutual friend of ours, but we've reconnected on our hate for this film because she like messaged me and said, yeah, isn't it a shit film? He actually gets angry sometimes. He's like, Cameron James told me to embrace me in a child. What the fuck is his problem? What the fuck is his problem? I can embrace me in a child.
Many a screenshot of Goldstein bitching on us for liking Hubie Halloween made it into the group chat.
I just had a lot of rage and frustration at that in the middle of Melbourne lockdown, and this was the channel I vented it through. And I do, you know, I do apologize, and I do love you, Alexi, but you hurt me. Hurt me good.
I think we've actually come through stronger as of today. This was our first fight, our first big disagreement, and we've decided to stay on the same side, you know? I will admit, yes, I am in Big Netflix's pocket, but Hubie Halloween, I liked regardless. There are movies that I have connected to with Netflix that I did not like, and Hubie Halloween is one of the ones that I loved.
I think your hack should be that you retract your opinion of Hubie Halloween.
I must declare Hubie Halloween not a 4-star as I originally related it.
Guys, yeah, I'm no longer a sandal file. I'm a Damon Wayans file. I'm a Damon Wayans file. I'm back.
I'm a Wayne.
White chicks.
I'm a freaking Damon Wayans.
Wayniac. Yes. Guys, I made a big movie mistake the other night. Terrible, right? My nana's got a smart TV. She's on the Netflix.
Oh, she's
it's
got
great.
A smart TV. You don't even have a smartphone, dude.
No, I know. She's smarter than me. And every year, my nana and I, we sit down and watch Godfather 1 and 2.
God.
Every
a
year.
Dream.
We love it. It's the best day of my life. We get some Aldi chocolates, some whiskey, right? Couldn't find the Godfather on any of the apps that she had on her TV.
Yep.
So she said, hey, why don't we watch this other Robert De Niro movie? Oh, she calls Robert De Niro Robert Rio de Janeiro.
Nice.
I love that.
Nice.
Which is so fucking cute. It's so great. And she said, let's watch the family, this comedy, this mobster comedy one. Oh,
with
man.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
She's like, it's got Michelle Pfeiffer in it. It should be good. Oh, my God. What a horrible film.
I haven't even heard of this.
Absolute turd. Yeah. Oh, it's really brutal.
It's like Luc Besson or something as well, right?
Yeah. Horrible. Really bad. But then save the day, right? We just typed in gangster movies on SBS On Demand. Watch Black Rain with Michael Douglas.
Nice.
Oh,
what a great flick.
Is that Tony Scott or Ridley Scott or something?
It's Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
You know what I noticed about Ridley Scott? Loves fans. He's always got a fan going in the background. There's always a silhouette of a fan. There's everything there. There's so many fans in this thing. It's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? Two colors and a fan. Yeah. So resurrected.
All right.
Guys.
So you gave up on the family, but the Black Rain gets your recommendation.
Mate, yeah. It's full 80s. Like
set in Tokyo or something?
Yeah. He goes to Tokyo. It's just full Americanized. Mm. Like, They treat the Japanese like they all don't know what they're doing, and it just needs an American cop to come in here and straighten everything up. He's like, are you even looking at the evidence? And then he goes and finds his own evidence, and you're just like, that's what they needed, a yank. These Japanese people don't know what the fuck they're doing. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. They need Michael Douglas to come in.
We need to get Michael Douglas, one of the most throaty actors of all time. We need to get him to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and he bangs the hot Japanese chick in it, you know what I mean? And she's like, oh, I need some American spice. You know?
To be Michael Douglas
it's just
for
a classic
one movie,
80s.
What a dream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. At the start, he wins a motorbike race, so he's a policeman, but then he just heads down to the docks and he's like, I'll race you. He jumps a barrel, wins the race, then the dude tells him he's a fucking psycho. Hands him the money. It's so good. It's really
Did
good.
Nana
brother.
Like it?
It's good. Nana loved it. Nana, she loves violence.
Yes.
She loves a bit of shooting. Yeah. She's big fan.
Yeah.
She liked Django Unchained. Showed that to her recently. She really liked that. She dug it. Yeah, she likes a good bit of violence. Yeah. Well, the thing is, we were looking around a lounge room and she made Gollywog dolls in a craft class years ago, and she's got two there.
How many years ago?
It was a while ago. Would have been 20 years ago or something like that. I don't know. I said, you better hide these, Nana. And she goes, I know. They're made horribly. She goes, the smaller they are, the harder they are to make.
Oh, God. So it was the craftsmanship.
And I was like,
you have a completely different existence to me growing up in a city to, you know, this outback guy like you.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. Anyway, I had to sit down and tell her you shouldn't have these, Nana. And she goes, "Oh, I understand, Nick.
Yeah. So if you, if anyone out there wants to buy some secondhand gollywogs, hit up Nick Capper's grandma. She's not happy with the craftsmanship, but everything else is cool.
And if you buy a full set, we'll chuck in a haunted portrait for you guys as well.
That thing. So we'll put the video of that up on the Patreon, and it is like straight out of the ring. Mm-hmm. It follows you around the room. I haven't been able to sleep all week. Someone called me and said 7 days.
We were convinced someone was going to crawl out of it, and they would look just like Kappa, but in period clothing.
You guys don't even have to send in money to get the dolls. You just have to send us your opinions and we'll judge if you're worthy of the dolls or not. Just send us what you think.
So we got some internet issues on this. So sorry if you're listening and there's lags and shit, but you know, hopefully, like I said, this is the last Zoom for a while.
Yes.
But what we do on the show, the premise for any first time listeners, we swap phones and a spinning wheel decides whether we go through draft tweets, notes, camera roll, or search history. Alexi has been on before. We did a live show and he did one of the best hacks on us. He really flipped the script and had us announce that we were canceling the pod because we were getting canceled, basically, because we offended someone. And there was many complaints and people bought it. It fucking went off.
I couldn't believe it that people believed it. I was so, I was honestly, it's one of my proudest moments to get one over you two like that. And then to get the audience like to believe it as well. I was like, oh my God, I did it. Those little Mike assholes, and I went, they believed every second of it.
Mike and I went and did a gig at the Comedy Store and we were out the back. And we were like, yeah, let's just leave it. Like, we were scared, but we were like, oh, let's just keep going with it. And by the time we got off stage, we just hadn't checked our phones. It was just full of messages, notifications.
Yeah.
People were going crazy. The Oppo was running hot. It was glowing red.
It was smoke coming out of the Oppo.
Yeah, it was going bananas. We're like, oh, maybe we should pull the plug now because...
Well, that's the thing. You also gave us an out. We could have just had a clean break from the pod and just owned it. But nope, we kept going. Yeah,
you kept going.
We are podcast cockroaches. So you can't keep us down. And
But once again, a prophecy, I think. Definitely a prophecy.
You think we get canceled?
Hopefully for our own good, and we won't be living in a beach house in Perth going ring-a-ding-ding, you are the kings.
Has anything like that ever come close to happening? Because you had to pull an episode, right?
We've had to delete a bunch of things from previous episodes, and we've eventually talked about, again, another plug for the Patreon, $5 a month gets you 4 bonus episodes. So usually behind the paywall, we'll talk about what got cut for whatever reason, but I don't think we've pulled entire episodes because we were worried about it. We just kind of narrow it down to the offending section.
Okay. So. Can you please cut out any people talking bad about Hubie Halloween on this episode? I can't let that get out there now.
That's the first 10 minutes. Are you kidding?
We're going to lose the Hubie talk, please. I'm trying to get Hubie Hot to come out next year, and I need it to have a good reception.
Oh, God.
And we cut that bit out, and we just go straight into me talking about gollywog dolls that my Nana has. So,
your
that's
dad,
great,
like,
mate.
Stepping into a dead guy's chest.
What the fuck? I was kind of distracted because, you know, Alexi had his internet drop out, but you literally told the story of your dad stomping a corpse and we just kind of moved past it.
Yeah. That's what this podcast has come to. Just like, I'm desensitized now. Oh, corpse. Yeah. Move on to Hubie Halloween. Let's get some real dirt. Let's get some real grease. You know?
Whoa, what the hell? What are you talking about? You say dirt and grease in the same sentence in front of me, dude? What the hell?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, mate. Sorry.
Yeah, Alexi puts the wog in gollywog. So that's...
Golly, it's a wog.
There you go. Yeah.
That's my new special. Sorry. I'm going to put that together. Thank you so much for the title.
Last week's episode, we had a great guest, second timer, the Dollops, Gareth Reynolds was on the show. He's just fantastic. And he shot down the initial hack where we wanted him to post a letter that looked like it was from Donald Trump's legal counsel, like asking him to remove an episode of The Dollop that they did all about Donald Trump, just because his partner Dave Anthony just probably wasn't going to be cool mm-hmm. with it. I should say podcast partner, whatever. I don't know.
Whoa, podcast what partner.
That's he told you that in confidence.
All right, they fuck each other. You heard it here first.
Man, next time Mike and I are at a party together, I'm going to introduce you as my podcast partner.
Dude, that's
my podcast partner,
but
Michael.
If you said my partner, I'd be more. No, I'd yeah, just because dude. I feel like. But I feel like I'm out of your league, so it would annoy me in that sense.
Oh, yeah, right. Mate, I got a beach tan. I've been in QLD.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking ripped.
Yeah? I don't know. We'll see you next week. But we had... So Gareth ended up going with... Kepper had a tattoo of a fish mm-hmm. getting fucked by a fisherman in the butt. And we just got Gareth to email that to a very old acquaintance with the caption hook, line, and stinker, right? And people have been hounding us to see this tattoo, like what it looks like. And we put it up. Again, we put it up on the Patreon. Eventually, we'll let everyone see it. But it's like, it's graphic. Like, it's pretty confronting.
Do you want to share it with, you have it on your mic to share the screen?
No, I could probably find
I'd love to show Alexi just to get his reaction. Yeah, but, dude, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's fucking brutal.
Brutal. And the thing is, the funniest thing is when we put it up on the Patreon, Capper had said when, you know, describing the photo that it's a flathead fish. Mm-hmm. And then some guy on the Patreon's like, that's not a flatty, that's a catfish. Wow. It's to me so funny to, well, actually, a fish fuck photo. Yeah.
I cannot imagine that happening in my Patreon whatsoever. Like, anyone correcting the type of, like, dumbass, like, fingered fish that we put a picture of up. I can't. You have a completely different audience to us.
Well, Alexi, I will show you I'll show you the tattoo.
Oh my lord, it's a catfish.
Yeah, you know.
Meow, meow. Yeah. Swim, swim.
Good lord.
I know, my mistake, guys. It wasn't a flatty, it was a catfish.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm started sweating seeing that picture.
Is that arousal?
It's in the butt as well.
It's a lot of it is visceral. If someone sent that to me that I hadn't connected with in some time, I would be thrown. I would be so thrown.
Yeah. But as far as I know, he didn't get a response. Capper, do you know if he got a response?
No response, which is the most chilling.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That is the worst.
That
is the worst, not
out
knowing.
Dinner with like other acquaintances now going like, can you fucking believe this? This is what I got. They've been talking about it for like years now and they'll never find out an answer to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because then Gareth's been in, you know, isolation for, you know, he's in America and he's just been in self-imposed lockdown for the past 12 months or whatever. And like to receive something like that, yeah, you would just go, he's snapped completely. Like he's totally fucking lost the plot. And he's sending
he's a snapper, which
for sure.
is a completely different fish.
Yeah.
And Mike, I had a get out of jail free card last week, but you had quite a little situation on your hands.
I did because I didn't look at the post that I commented on properly during the episode because I thought it was my good friend's little brother. It was a picture of my good friend, his little brother, and their dad on Thanksgiving from last year, and they live in California. And I thought it was the little brother who had put up the picture, but it was actually his dad who had posted the picture and said, you know, Thanksgiving lockdown or whatever it was. And then Capper had me post a picture of a cat kind of trapped in a tight space. And I said, and there's all these comments going, oh, the boys were so grown up or whatever the fuck. And then I commented the picture of the cat and said, tight pussy, ha ha. Which, you know, it's
close something. To hanging there, I guess, but
and that was up for about 28 minutes before I got a Facebook audio call.
No, that's chilling.
Yeah, because they all would have got the notification, but my friend would have been like, what the fuck is going on? And then because he didn't post it, he couldn't just delete it. So he called me directly to ask that I take it down. But then we caught up and had a nice chat. So it was a good way to reconnect.
You got a listener. You got a new listener from it.
So he asked, he said, hey, man, what was the conversation like? Because he would have just gone, hey, man, how you going? Good. You know that thing you posted. Can you take it down? Was it like
that?
Well,
he started, he said, what's up, Gooch? That was my name in high school. And and then he said, tight pussy, huh? And I was like, oh, yeah, dude, fucking just, I'm sorry. And he was like, no, that's cool. I just can't delete it. You just take it down. And then he knows vaguely of the pod, but just the fact that his old man got the notification and the brother and anyone who commented on the post, all his aunties. Yeah. So that was fun. But it was a good way to reconnect. Like I said, you know, we're doing God's work.
Yeah, you should have to call the father. You should have to call the father and the aunts and stuff and go, it's for this podcast I do. I don't actually think that's funny. It was a joke, haha, on there.
No, or call them and just really push it and go, why didn't you guys like my tight pussy photo? Like
I'm a professional comedian. Like, this was a little bit of joy I was trying to give you guys in lockdown, and you're not even giving me a haha react, a care react, or anything.
You're just yelling the premise to them. You're like, the cat is in a tight space,
and it refers.
And people say the phrase to the tight vagina, like the, you know, like some people call it pussy.
And it's funny because sometimes it's like, that's a desirable quality, but for a cat to be claustrophobic, not desirable. That's the humor.
That's almost better, to just fucking try to own it that much and just like really push the horrible joke.
Don't you get why it's freaking funny and you're not laughing?
Yeah. Oh man, I hope that doesn't come up again, because that's what I'll probably get you to do if you get that this week. Just re-comment on
go
it.
Go back.
Can you guys go back. We haven't done that yet.
Message the dad, like, hey, I don't know if you saw this. Here's a picture.
No, and that's amazing.
far out. I think we've broken some new ground here already.
Dude, to fucking, to send him a DM with the picture and just go, I'm going to need a reaction on this.
What were your thoughts when you saw this picture? I need to go step by step.
All right. So we'll get into the phones. Spinning the wheel for myself first. And Alexi, you said, like, was it notes you said you might not have much in? Or
notes,
like, you
would more be like shopping lists, I would say. Right. And I don't know how much humor we could gather from me having to buy, you know, cucumbers and Greek yogurt. You know, maybe you could find
8 liters.
Yeah. 8 liters, enough.
Eight
to
liters of of Suzuki.
Okay, maybe
new
we can,
mag wheels.
Maybe, look, we're finding some good shit here now. Maybe we should keep it in.
The Wog Boy 1 and 2 on VCD. Yeah,
I buy them each time because I just, you know, you got to watch it once and then keep passing them through the community.
All right, let's see what we're going through in my phone. Obviously on Zoom, we just hold our phones up to the screen. It's not ideal, but we'll see how it goes this week. I got notes. So notes for me, can you even see that? Probably not. Okay. So in my notes, I've been getting back into doing gigs, not too much in here, and I think some we would have discussed before. So can you read that at all, or is that going to be too blown out?
If you bring it further into the middle, I can kind of read it. A true Shiro.
Shiro. Yeah. Mm. So That was there's a female kicker now in the college football league in America, and everyone was like,
and you're fired up about it.
Yeah, dude. I'm like, I'm fucking for my MRA groups. I'm like, this is bullshit.
This is Shubi Halloween playing all over again.
But she, she's playing, obviously the only female on the football team, and she's a kicker and she's good. And then, there's all these posts, but of course it gets trolled by complete toxic piece of shit men. But one of the comments that struck me was a guy commented, this lady is a true Shiro.
Oh,
and so not hero, but she's a Shiro. And I didn't respond or anything. I just obviously put it into the notes because I was like, there's already a word for a female hero. He didn't have to shoehorn she into there. But, a true heroine, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been fine?
I think so. Or to just say hero. I believe it's like a gender neutral term now. It becomes like less of like an ally thing for a guy to go, actually, she's cool and she's a female. So allow me to step in here and show that I'm a beautiful fella.
It was so bizarre to me that, then this guy obviously wanted points for recognizing, a hero and a woman. Yeah. So a true Shiro. And so that annoyed me. So I guess the riff would have been, if I ever came back to that note, which I haven't, was just to find other words to really shoehorn she or a woman into.
Oh, right. Yeah.
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 So I don't know. Offhand, all I could think is she-male, but that has widely different connotations.
Yes. I guess that's you maybe talking about email going, but it's email for only for ladies.
Yeah. I got an email from a very like a woman who's she's a CEO. She's a CEO.
Okay, CEO is good.
CEO. What about like something to do with kicking? Like she's kicking balls and kicking butts. Like kicking men's butts or something like that. I don't know. Something like,
I don't think,
those lame things I always say. I don't know what.
I love that. Yeah.
A shicker. Is she a shicker?
Yeah, shicker. That sounds Yiddish.
That does
really
feel like Yiddish word. Yeah, for like something or something.
Shicker is on the boil tonight.
Check out the shicker. She has great material. So that was
look at the shicker on that one.
Yeah, exactly. So that note has just been sitting there. I actually had forgotten all about that, but actually this brings up something. It'll be interesting to hear your take, Alexi. I'd thought about this for a while, that with gender neutrality and we're all just people, how it's lasted so long that there's a best actor and best actress delineation for awards ceremonies. Like, how do they justify doing that? Like, I always thought there's either a joke in there or there's something. And then, of course, I saw a tweet the other day where someone was like, basically having best female actor or best actress even is like saying, she did a good job for a woman, right? So that was his take on it. But like, what do you think? Should they have that separation?
I don't know. I've never really thought about it because I'm like, I think awards are like, they're bullshit. They're always like, the Golden Globes came out this week and they're always just like dog shit, because it's just like, especially that one, that's like 90 old like press hacks from Hollywood that have been like around forever that have the worst taste and like just try to get like cool people to come to the ceremony. So I don't put like any weight into the awards. Like, never think about them. But I don't know. I guess it's just a way. It will always just be a way to like go get more people nominated, get more people to come in. So it's like, I think that it is a gender issue. And there are now like awards, like I believe the MTV Awards kind of like pushed it big a few years ago where they were like, we don't have it categorized by gender. And then like Emma Watson won for like Beauty and the Beast, which is a dog shit movie and she's bad in it. So it's never going to matter. The awards just never matter.
Yeah, it is stupid, but it's crazy that for such a performatively woke you know, as Hollywood is, that they would still even say actor and actress and have that separation.
Yeah.
And so, and like, yeah, I've, for years, I think
But aren't the Oscars?
What?
Yeah. I think it is weird, but it's also like, you worry that like the sexism would come through, like the misogyny would come through. Like they don't have like best female director or best male director. And then like you see like that category has had like literally five women have been nominated for best director at the Academy Awards. And it's like, well, it sucks. It's so many old misogynists and like chauvinists that are like just stuck in there, like dying in retirement homes. But they like did one day's work on Ben-Hur like 100 years ago. So they're still in the Academy. Yeah. So it's like, you know, probably I would say in like 10 years time when all those old cunnies have like passed on, then it'll be like a better conversation to have.
Yeah.
Because the Oscars are so weird because sometimes they'll just make an actor into an Academy Award-winning actor. So you'll have like Matt McConaughey, who's done more interesting films lately, which has been good. But also they're like, well, whatever he's in now, or like Frances McDormand, who's a great actress, like she's so good, but you're like, her new one, you're like, oh, well, it's just going to get an Oscar, I guess. You know, like, and it might not even be that good. But they're like, well, Frances McDormand, she can't not have an Oscar.
Exactly. Yeah. Got to give her one.
Just, that's what you got to do.
You got to
give it to her, you know.
But will you be annoyed if there's no nominations for Hubie Halloween?
I'm going for Hubie. I've been putting my own for your consideration campaign up for Hubie Halloween. I'm saying I want Tim Meadows up for Best Supporting Actor, Ray Liotta, Steve Buscemi. I want the full five best supporting nominees to be Hubie Halloween All Stars.
I can't believe you didn't like That's My Boy.
Oh, sorry. I didn't like That's My Boy. I know. It actually cuts me.
I liked it.
I know. I wish I liked it. It's one of my greatest regrets in life that I did not like That's My Boy, but tragically, that's who I am.
Yeah. Oh, so what would you say pre Hubie?
Maybe after the podcast we'll sort this out.
But pre Hubie, what was his last good comedy then? Because I think he from Big Daddy onwards, it was just bad. Yeah, I can't say. Like I think he started strong and then it was there's nothing.
I might be with you because for me, the best comedy he's been in recently is Meyerowitz Stories, the Noah Baumbach film. I think he's really good in that. And I think that's a really good comedy. But it's not like, it's not an Adam Sandler comedy. You know, it's not like a broad, crazy comedy. And I might be with you because I think Big Daddy is fucking awesome. I watched it again like this year. I watched it the same week as Tenet and I thought about Big Daddy for much longer than I did about Tenet. Like I loved Big Daddy.
About Big Daddy in reverse, you know, all that piss goes back in his dick.
I would love to see that. That is what I want to see happen. I want Christopher Nolan to go, now it's my turn to make a Sandman movie and we're going back to Big Daddy.
I asked Mike what he thought of Tenet the day after he saw it and he goes, they should have called it Black to the Future.
Oh, I did not make that amazing joke.
Great bit.
That's the first thing he said. Great big gold scene. That's the first thing he said.
Tuck that in the notes. And then he blamed it.
He blamed it on his partner. He goes, yeah, well, that's what she called it anyway. And she's like, no, I did not.
I'm not going to own that. I don't remember saying that. I plead the
fifth. And then he said it again later on at the winery. Said it again. Just in case, you know, because it was only me was the audience,
had to
you know.
Keep getting it
He's
out
like,
there.
He had three more people. Yeah.
This is coming.
It was horrible.
This is coming from the man trying to profit off gollywogs, but we'll run with that.
I tried to get Nana to make the cast from Tenet.
All right, so I don't know if we want another note. No, we're way into this episode, so let's keep moving, spinning the wheel to see what we're going through in Capper's phone. So in the Oppo, the piece of shit Oppo that Capper uses as his phone.
Looking pretty good.
It is search history. Search history.
Oh, okay. Search history. Oh, I wonder if this will be interesting. The photos I thought weren't going to be interesting, but
you know. Exorcism on an inanimate object is what you were trying to look up recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How to get rid of a gypsy's curse that is
that has plagued the family for generations through a picture.
After and my old man stomped a corpse.
I got trying to look up The Godfather, what streaming platform it was on.
Yeah.
As we talked about it. This is kind of a weird thing. You know those clickbait articles? It had shows that are not going to be getting a season, but it was like went for 150 pages.
Wow.
And you one, it had a photo. Word. No, well, I wanted to see it. It had a photo of someone doing stand up. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, is it one of those shit stand up shows that's kind of got released lately? Like, oh, the stuff that goes behind stand up, you know, when they got lockers and stuff in the. And they're like, that's not how stand up like, is in real life, you know.
Punchline, the Tom Hanks and Sally Field movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They got lockers in that one.
Across his screen and showed us its anus.
Jesus, it's quite the sweet little pink dot.
Yeah, ooh. We see where that little picture came from earlier. Send it to that good old dad.
Yeah, if you want to.
I don't know why it's got a swastika tattooed on it, but anyway, it's cool. Well, we'll leave that be.
Yeah, well, that's just there for my own personal enjoyment. Not the asshole, the swastika.
Oh, good Lord.
So, yeah.
Sorry.
So I kind of missed what you were talking about.
just canceled season shows. And yeah, what one of them looked like one of those terrible. They're like, you know, they always make stand-up seem like some kind of elite club where they're like, yo, if you want to do this, you gotta prove yourself in this way. And they always like breaking it down and defining it. Like your bits, they don't go like this. They go like this. And then they have an epiphany and they find themselves. And then all of a sudden they're a good comedian. And you're like, no, it's not like that. You just have 12 years of shows gradually getting a little tiny bit better.
Yeah.
And then any time they get good and you think you're good, you fucking bomb again.
Yeah.
Like it would be the worst roller coaster of emotion.
Well, it's always
the only good one is crashing.
Well, that is the huge cliche. And even crashing had this a little bit where someone's bombing on stage and then they just stop their material they always do and they just start talking from the heart and it's like personal.
And then they just start
crushing. But imagine as any gig that's not going well, if you just all of a sudden started talking about your problems, people would be like, it would make
I've done that. I did that like a year into comedy where it's like I was doing like material that has never, at that time, had never failed me. It was like the worst gig I started. And it was also like the person before me did okay and the person after me did okay and there were worse comedians than me. And then I just like, I'm tanking doing material that is good or what I thought was good. And I was like, I don't know what to do. How am I going to connect these people? I'm just going to tell them a story from my own life that I've never thought of how it could be turned into stand-up comedy before. And I can tell you, to this day, it was the worst I'd ever done on stage. And it got worse when I started telling that story. So much so that for like weeks later, no one was at this gig. No one was there. People came up to me talking to me about it. That's how bad it was. Like word got around from an empty gig that how badly I bombed. There was like 10 people in the audience. And
oh shit. See, that's just, real. That's what really would happen. Yeah. You just dig yourself a bigger hole. What, Cap?
There was this guy that was like a full he was a Sydney comic. Well, I don't know if he was a comic or not, but Shane Matheson and I loved him. He was like a Woody Allen type character, like very frantic, had the glasses. He kind of looked like Andrew Denton a bit, you know. He's just like, and he would rock up, you know, once a month, once every 2 months. Just when his wife would let him out of the house, he's like, he'd go, man, I don't know, I want to do this. This is what I want to do. Oh, I've prepared this set for tonight. And he'd get up there and he'd just blow it every time. He's like, I don't know. I was meant to just be a writer, but, you know, my wife's parents are Italian and they say you should work.
Wow.
And now we live in a granny flat out the back of their house and we have two kids. And just, I don't know, like, is this good? I don't know if this is even good. Oh, I've blown it again. And it was it would always bomb, but it was Shane and I would be at the back just laughing. Just it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. Yeah. Like, I really miss that guy. Fuck, it was funny.
Those
it
are the
was
ones
so
that
good.
Stick with you, right? Are just like the people that you saw like go psycho at an open mic. Like, I don't remember any other bits, but I remember like this one time where it's like me and Ben Elwood standing at the back of like an open mic room, and like this guy came on wearing like rainbow suspenders. I can't remember a word he said, but it was like complete bomb. And he was in the front row, was his like teenage son. Just bombing in front of his teenage son. I'm just like, this is like what comedy is. Like the in encapsulation, this is everyone that's drawn to comedy is this one guy like disappointing his family in real time.
Man,
it's like the Platonian ideal of stand-up, like the Aristotelian ideal, like up in heaven, that's what it is.
It was so good, man. I was telling Mike about this in the Patreon, and maybe you saw this guy when you used to run that. Did you ever run Mug and Kettle?
For a while I did.
And there was this guy, and he'd drive all the way from the Central Coast, and he was like I think he was gay. He was very effeminate, and he would talk about the gay people in musicals.
Yes.
And how they'd put on the – and he'd go – basically, the joke was him going, this is the age of Aquarius, the age of Aquarius, and then kind of flex his ass out a bit.
Oh, my gosh.
And it would just bomb so horribly, but I fucking loved
was this,
it. Like that he drove all the way from
an
there.
Older man who like wore like an leather jackets and stuff?
I think so, man.
I know and this guy just, so well. I this is one of my heroes, dude. Because the first time I ever did like stand up at that room, he was the first person I met, and like I sat next to him, and I was like, okay, cool. So like lots of different people come down here, and he just went on stage like, oh, hello, and I just like, oh, okay, this guy's not everyone's a comedian here. Like this guy is like just a lunatic, and like like these crazy people. Like I spent like 2 years of my life hanging out with that guy, like once a week. Like getting to know him, getting to know his life. And there was one time where he was like, oh, I can't relate to these kids at all. Oh, I got to come up with some new stuff for the kids. And he came on stage and just did like a bit about a song that he heard on the radio for like 5 minutes, like a top 40 song that no one else in the room had ever heard of.
Oh, God, that is amazing.
It's just so good, man, to go, all right, he's sitting out of the Central Coast. Yeah. He's like, okay, people are gay in musicals, Age of Aquarius, queer ass. Yeah. Done. Like the connection.
Yeah.
Drives it to Sydney, bombs, then just has to drive home. Just going, what did it work?
Yeah. But I think as long as he never dropped the facade, if he committed to the bit, because, you know, in terms of seeing people like drop what they're doing and then like lose it or have a meltdown. The best I ever saw of that was a dude in Perth. He was a Kevin Rudd impersonator, Prime Minister of Australia. And there was quite rowdy hecklers in the room, and they weren't digging his Kevin Rudd. Like that's his whole act. He would just impersonate Kevin Rudd. And so he picked up the microphone stand and threw it at their table.
And that's so funny because that's like, you know, like that's that freaking like, like, you know, Bill Hicks type thing. Like, yeah, he went psycho at the audience as like a mild-mannered, crappy Kevin Rudd impersonator.
Yeah, dude. And the best thing was like after it shattered some glasses and like just caused chaos, but he still had the microphone on him, and he immediately went back into like, I'm Kevin Rudd and I'm quite cheap, you know, like trying to do jokes. And it fucking sucked.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Dude, amazing.
Imagine explaining that to one of your peers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should get into Alexi's phone.
Oh my gosh. I'm sweating. I am nervous.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Can't wait to see what comes up in the draft tweets.
Draft tweets. Okay. Let's
draft
see.
Draft tweets.
Are you a renegade, Alexi? Do you like to fire them out straight away, or do you like to save them up? Do you like to save up the juicy ones?
I'm a little
refine
bit of
refine them, tweak them.
I'm more a renegade. More I shoot them out. If they get nothing, I take them down. Or if I'm embarrassed by it, I take it down. But I also I disconnect. Like I'll delete the Twitter app, reinstall it like days later when I'm like, I'm going psycho. I can't read this stuff anymore. I only have two.
Okay. What do you got? Read them out. If there's only two, you might as well.
Okay. One of them, this is one that I think is in here all the time and I've never tweeted it because I'm like, I don't know if this is allowed. But every time you hear a story of someone getting busted for child porn, they always have like 87 terabytes on their hard drive. I actually think you should be arrested if you have more than 1 gigabyte of normal porn on your hard drive as well.
I mean, it's true. It's like these dudes basically have a fucking mainframe in their house. And So you think anything above 1 gig?
Anything 1 gig of normal pornography, even if it's just like a photo, is weird.
Yeah.
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 Any saved porn is like, what are you doing? Like, do you not have internet access where you're fucking just jaying off? Like, come on, man. Grow up.
Like, it's gross. To me, that's a creepy, like, that's a red flag on a guy, I would say.
Yeah, you got to have a rotating roster. You know, you got to keep, get with the new, you know, like, oh, I like a new one. Oh, okay, I'm into retro now. You know, just keep clearing it out.
Well, right? I was more just like, I don't want any evidence that I'm a sexual being to exist in real life, but.
Yeah, that's
a. You know, sometimes you watch Pornhub and all that kind of stuff.
Not
and
me,
then you
dude.
Think about
never.
Like.
Never pure to this day.
Pure.
I only watch movies and films. I have never once had an adulterous thought in my head.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's why I'm a cinephile, because I am obsessed with films in that regard.
Did you fast forward through Basic Instinct? Were you only going to the car scenes?
I was only going to the Newman scenes, dude. A lot of people was paused in the interrogation scene. I'm pausing to see Newman in the interrogation scene, sweating it up. My style idol, dude. I'm like, that's what I got to look like one day.
Yeah, well, you've said
in Pretty Woman.
I think you're on record as you freeze frame Halle Berry and Swordfish. You know, that's like a huge, huge moment for the sexual awakening of a young Toliopolis.
I remember the moment. I don't know if I paused. I was probably too scared to, but it's one of the iconic moments in film. To this day, Halle Berry and Swordfish. There was a guy when I worked at a video store who like came in and was just like, bro, do you have Swordfish? Do you have Swordfish, man? I'm like, no, we don't have it. Sorry. He's like, man, you gotta have Swordfish. It's a classic, dude. It's a classic. I'm like, I think your definition of classic is different. It's just like a movie you jacked off to when you're like 13 years old.
Hell yeah.
Man. I thought Swordfish was so good when I first saw it. When he's getting sucked off and he's trying to hack the laptop.
So bad.
I'm like, man, that rules. That rules. You know, just and that is the best. Imagine that. You're a hacker guy and you're a cute dude. You're Hugh. You're
beautiful Hugh Jackman.
And then and the bit where Travolta just said, where he just said, drive into the traffic and just pulls out of the sunroof two guns. Amazing. I'm going to rewatch. We got to rewatch
I'll tell you, it's bad. Cam and I rewatched it like in a chat room with our Patreon subscribers. And it is truly, it's actually a really bad, awful, abhorrent film. It looks disgusting. It's like the early 2000s aesthetic where like
is it Michael Bay?
No, it's a music video director that did Gone in 60 Seconds. It's the same guy.
Oh, right.
Oh, man.
So it's Michael Bay-esque. It's like the Michael Bay style kind of.
Yeah,
that
frenetic music video type shit, really. That's what it is.
Man, that scene in Gone in 60 Seconds where she's cracking onto him in the car and he's like doing dirty talk that's kind of in line with car talk. That's one of the cringiest things I've ever seen. Like, it's so cringy. It's just like, even when I watched it when it came out and I was so young, when it came out, I was like, this is awful. Yeah. Like, and I still liked Fast and Furious, still like Swordfish, but that bit made me look away.
I actually would say Gone in 60 Seconds is hectic. That's the one you should rewind.
So you had the porn, the saved in the computer, and then what's the other?
The only other one I have is because they've been doing like all those. There's like two TV series coming out like based on the making of The Godfather. So this is you will like this one, Kappa. And I just said pitching a series about Francis Ford Coppola during the making of Jack.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, that's Robin Williams aging in reverse or yes. something.
Or
yeah.
no, he just ages fast. He's like 7 years fast. Old, but he's Robin Williams. Ah, yeah. Mary.
Oh, dude, that's...
Oh, man, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever told this story on...
I don't ever told this story, but I've got this disease.
Kepper's five.
No, I... Years ago, the cinema was an hour away from our house, and the cinema in Moree, it joined on to a place where you could cook your own steaks on these stones. And my mum said, if you're good, we'll go have dinner at Moree and you guys can watch Jack while you know, your dad and I cook these steaks on these stones. Like, it was a bit of a novelty thing. And years ago, I met Robin Williams at a gig, like up on top of this, you know, thing. And there were heaps of comics there and no one knew what to say to him. He just walked in and I said, hey, man, big fan. And he's like, yeah. I said, yeah, my mum and I, we used to watch Mork and Mindy and stuff. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's cool. So where are you from? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm from Boomai. You know, the closest cinema was an hour away. One time, mum said, you know, and I told him about the steak restaurant and watching Jack. And then there was this big silence because every other comic was looking at me going, why the fuck would you bring up his worst movie, yeah. right?
Why would you bring up and Jack then, and this weird thing yeah, why would you bring steaks on stones?
Yeah, I know. And then after like a minute, oh, not a minute, after about 10 seconds, Rob Williams goes, I think you probably should have cooked the steak.
Yeah, it's good. But that's also a little known fact that Capper's meeting with him is why he hung himself after that confrontation.
No.
He's like, because he'd met a superior comedian. Oh, yeah. That's why.
There you go.
It's like, I'll never be as funny as this.
Never as quick on the riff as Cap.
He was floored by the steaks and stones story that he was like, there's nothing that can top this.
All right, let's get into the hex, the pointy end of the episode. I got the Dice app on the phone, Alexi. So there it is in all its glory. So wow. I'll roll first and see what I have to do this week. That is a 5. That is a 5. So that's a text to a random. So in honor of Alexi, let's put an A into the context and see what comes up. Preferably someone not... okay, so there's a lady who I stayed at her Airbnb a few years ago. That's bizarre. There's a club runner from the Gold Coast. There's a comedian. There's a bunch of comedians. There's a lady who used to run a club in Melbourne who has been out of the comedy game for a few years at least now. Any of those popping out at you, Cap?
Maybe go with the Airbnb lady, maybe.
Yeah, that's weird. That's so weird.
That's the weirdest one you can pick. I'm really tensing up now.
Yeah.
How long ago did you stay at this Airbnb?
I want to say 2017.
Oh, this is insane.
Oh, that's so good.
I think
so
I left something there. I can't find
it. Hey, have you seen my watch? Yeah.
Man, well, you know, there's sometimes you, like there's something I was going to go, but I'll rejig it to maybe be the Airbnb. So maybe you go, hi, I don't know if you remember me. Maybe something like that. Yeah. I stayed in your Airbnb 3 years ago.
I don't know if you... Yeah.
I stayed in your Airbnb. I'm going through some hard times in my relationship right now.
Oh, yuck.
Oh, God.
God. Kappa, this is devious.
Yeah, this but sucks.
But when we stayed in your place, that's the best it ever was.
Oh my god.
Kappa, that's devious.
This sucks.
Far out.
That's okay. The best it ever was.
That's the best it ever was. I mean, we could make it crass or whatever.
No,
and go,
I think the forlorn, did it everywhere. The but forlornness that's the best is ever. What makes it beautiful.
All right. So let me read that back to you. I have, hi, I don't know if you remember me, stayed in your Airbnb, going through some hard times in my relationship, but when we stayed in your place, that was the best it ever was. Anyways, take care. Is that, wow. Is that yeah. solid? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, take care. I love it.
Okay. That is, wow. That is done.
Yes. That is so good. So brutal.
God, she's also sucks. Probably just getting a message from the contact she saved as dipshit comedian.
Dipshit yeah. comedian that left skid marks on my sheets. Oh, fuck. All right, that sucks.
All right, let's go, mine.
Okay, so rolling the dice for Capper. Let's see what we land on. It is... That is a six. That is a six.
No.
Capper.
What's that?
That is a DM to a celeb on Instagram.
Oh my God.
This one is a...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this one is pretty bizarre. I'm interested to see if you get a response. So the Australian Open starts on Monday in Melbourne, if it doesn't get COVID canceled at this rate. And there's an Australian tennis player named Jordan Thompson, right? And he doesn't have a huge following. He's good mates with like Kyrgios and all the other Australian players, but he's not well known. Like he's not a household name. So I think he's ideal because he might respond to this.
He might check it. If someone's wishing him well, he might be checking.
Yeah. So I'm going to...
Jordan Thompson. Oh, yeah?
Yep. So you've
20,000 followers?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. Okay, gotcha. You could get it.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I'll forward you what I want you to say to him. I want you to say, hey, man.
Oh, my God.
Huge fan. All the best for the AO. Let me know if you need someone to carry your bags and towels or help applying sunscreen or anything. I'm here. I'm here for you, bro. So I feel like it's not too... it's not like I'm going to... jerk you off or anything. Yeah. It's just like a little too, it walks the line, but you know, do you need help applying sunscreen? And it's weird, like surely he's never got a message like this before, you know? Yeah. So I'm
just
fascinated.
Another unhinged message in his messages. That's it.
Yeah. So,
hey man, huge fan. All the best for the AO. Let me know if you need someone to carry your bags and towels to help her. I'm here for you, bro. What if I also send him? I shouldn't help. Fuck. I shouldn't help.
No, you can help. Oh, dude. I already got a response.
What if also.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh
dude,
my God.
Should I read it out in real time?
You have to read it.
She says, I'm sorry. Oh, God. I'm sorry, but you have the wrong number. I don't own an Airbnb. Anyways, I'm sorry to hear you're going through a tough time. I hope it works itself out and you come out of it okay, whoever you are.
Wow.
So,
wow. That's a really nice person.
Hey, can you write back, are you single?
No.
Oh, fuck off.
You have to write back, I'm Mike Goldstein, Australian comedian.
Mike Goldstein.
No.
Yeah. You got to- I'm Mike Goldstein, comedian. And then send a ticket link to you. Comedy festival.
Oh, actually, can you? You should just reply, my bad, just reminiscing.
Oh, God. All right, it all sucks. All right.
Well, guys.
There you go.
I sent that to Jordan Thompson.
Okay.
And then I just sent him a selfie of me going like this pathetically.
Mm. Oh, nice. You got to back it up with the selfie. Yeah, that's perfect. All right, we'll see if he responds because I got Phoebe to respond straight away. But sure, yeah, it's weird. Surely she owned Airbnb in the past. Otherwise, who is this person? It's a mystery. Oh, I should do a Finding Drago type podcast.
Let's dive into it. Who is this weird number?
All right, Alexi. Mm-hmm. The moment of truth. You're going to denounce Hubie Halloween across all media. No. I have a better one for you, I think. I'll forward you a couple things right now. I don't know. I didn't see your name on there, but there's a Facebook page called Cinema Australia. And we know a few people. There's a few mutual friends on there. I didn't see your name, but you can post. You can post in this one regardless on the Cinema Australia page. And so what I want you to do, let me forward you a couple things.
Oh, my God.
So,
no.
Where is Alexi?
Who are the mutual friends in the group?
It was like a couple comedians, like Ryan Coffey was in there. So I want you to send this recommendation. It is for the film Norbit, starring Eddie Murphy. Okay. So,
yeah,
and you say, I want you to say, this is worth a revisit. Great character acting and amazing makeup and effects. Eddie Murphy at the top of his game. Great cinematography and the mise-en-scene is top shelf. Not for the easily offended, but if you like a laugh, you should check it out. So I think, yeah. So fine. You could do it after we wrap up, but you'll
find. Yeah.
Finally.
This is not out of my realm. I mean, I'm a guy that dedicated like 69 episodes to Mike Myers. So one, it's very believable that I would like go to bat for a Norbit, for Norbit eventually.
But the great thing about the Norbit, I don't know if you can see, so I want you to post that picture as well.
I love
is that,
that Norbit.
Oh, it's Eddie Murphy as the... He's Norbit, right? He's the Norbit. Titular character.
He's the titular Norbit who's a nebbish kind of nerd guy.
Yeah, but he's being... He's also the giant lady that is straddling him.
The gorgeous, the, voluptuous woman. One of the most attractive creatures on screen is Eddie Murphy.
And the...
he's even hot as a woman.
And their tagline is, have you ever made a really... big mistake. Mm. So, fucking so good. Wow.
This is revenge for Hubie Halloween. This is exactly, you think the same of Hubie Halloween as one would think about Norbit. You put them on the same pedestal.
Well, that's an interesting question because I couldn't really think of something that wouldn't be like insane to post a recommendation for, but would be kind of embarrassing and stupid. Like, what do you think is like an embarrassing movie to really back? Like, is there any that come to mind straight away?
This is probably the closest that it can get to it, I reckon. Like, a crappy, the only thing would be worse would be like, or more like offensive would be like, a more forgotten, like, you know, 10,000 words or like Dave or something, like one of the, like the Eddie Murphy movies that aren't even remembered for being that bad, like just the ones that like completely forgotten.
I got a thumbs up from Phoebe after saying my bad, just reminiscing. So there you go.
Oh, yes. That is so good. That is so good, man.
All right. I'm going to post this in the group, my lords.
Okay.
All right, so mate. Cinema, that's good. Australia. Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Now, mate, I've been loving your past couple of podcasts that came out. You had Finding Drago. Mm-hmm. And now you have Finding... I forgot the name. I haven't
haven't heard it. It sounded like you really got into it. So, you know, I believed every second of you.
Well, it was good. The second one was good. But I forget what it's called.
Finding Desperado.
Yes. The weirdest story ever.
Yeah.
The weirdest story.
It's a very weird story. So it's a podcast documentary series that Cam and I did. That's like a true crime story without a crime. And basically the new season is we found the Guinness World Record that we thought was fake. And it's for youngest filmmaker from sometime in the 1970s. And we kind of go on like a globe-trotting adventure trying to find this mysterious European aristocrat that claimed to have like had magical powers and made like a prize-winning short film.
Oh, nice.
Man, it's the weirdest story. When I was listening to it, I was thinking... because I did a lot of traveling when I was younger, and you'd always meet these weird guys on these desert islands. Like, they'd always be just these mysterious kind of guys at the backpackers, and they'd always have a room to themselves. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't sleep in the communal rooms.
And they have like an aura.
They always shout you drinks or whatever. Yeah, a real mysterious aura. Mm. One guy, I found out what he did. He was he owned a weather app around the world, and then he just checked it every now and then, but he was rich, loaded. He said basically, I don't know, 5% of the world, but the rest did not know. you never know, but you always met a Sydney Lynx somewhere. Yeah. Always.
And yeah, they fascinate me, like these guys, like these fantasists and stuff. So, you know, that's what we do now. That's Cam and I's job, is like find weirdos out there that are like tangentially related to popular culture and like, you know, find them and celebrate them.
Oh, great.
Because no one really knows that Tommy Wiseau, where he got his money from, or where he's from, or what is his deal. Does anyone know his history or anything? And it really reminded me of that, you know.
Those people, we love them. We got to celebrate them because they just make the world more interesting by like bringing a weird fable of magic into it.
The and walking also, speed. Oh, yeah. We're doing a live phone hacks for the Melbourne Comedy Festival April 3rd at the European Beer Cafe, 5 p.m. after the Little Dum Dum Club. That should be on sale when this episode drops. Hectic. So make sure you get across that. And I'm doing a solo show for the Comedy Festival the final week. That should be on the festival website. And Capper, you're doing a show as well.
Yes, I'm doing a solo show in Melbourne. For the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Come and see that. It's the Tuxedo Traveller one. It's all about me travel around the world in a tuxedo. Also, I'm doing a beer show with Brett Blake.
Ooh.
Probably at least popular guest we've had on.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd give him a leg up. And we're doing that in Brisbane on the 13th and the 14th. Come down. You get beers with a ticket. You get food. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That sounds awesome.
And also, Alexi, do you like the movie Twins?
I do like the movie Twins.
Well, you know, in the movie Twins, there's Arnold Schwarzenegger, who got most of the sperm. And then there's Danny DeVito, who got the leftover shit.
Well, I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, I don't think they dished out.
But that's what they say in the movie. What you say in that movie isn't factually correct.
Well, I know. They say the shit that was left over in terms of the
good genetics
makeup. Yeah.
It's not whatever. Like Arnold's got more sperm in him. It was made with like 10 sperms, where Danny DeVito's made with like one third of one sperm.
Look, I'm going to rewatch it. I'm going to check up on this, but I will take your word for it for now. But unfortunately, guys, my brother got most of the genetic makeup.
Yeah.
Right. And he started his own company, Device Tribe One. And last week we had a discount code, and thank you guys for buying a lot of it. But this week he still has a discount code. So PhoneHacks20, all lowercase, and you get this awesome phone stand. It's our first official sponsor.
That's awesome.
How great is that? So Device Tribe One, go there, enter PhoneHacks20, all lowercase, and you'll get 20% off your gooseneck phone holder. And let me tell you, they've been great. Listeners have been sending them in saying that it's taken the world by storm.
Yeah, people are loving it. So it's basically a hands-free jack-off device. So it's right up our alley. So make sure you get your hands.
The amount of dorks.
It's spectacular. It's spectacular.
The amount of listeners we have that couldn't be bothered holding their phone while they jerk it is uncanny. Like it is a device right for our audience. So get in there, have some fun. And
this is one of the most genius and unique like advertising campaigns ever. Like 100% success rate. Every listener's purchased one.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And did you see my angle? I was like, you like movies, you like twins, leftover shit, me and my brother.
You did say leftover sperm, not shit, originally.
The twins thing, that was a long road to travel to get to the plug. But sure.
I know.
But it was a magnificent journey.
It worked.
A magnificent journey nonetheless.
Anyway, mate, we're not going to take up any more of your time, but thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Alexi. Check out all of Alexi's pods. They're amazing. Total Reboot as well. And we'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.
Goodbye.
See ya, mate. Bye.